1 minute until showtime.
3, 2, 1. What does one of the top media research organizations anywhere have in their crystal ball for TV 2024? Discover when New Magazine Executive Vice President Tony Cardinale joins me next. Also ahead, the DC television universe expands under Matt Reeves, K-pop, the TV channel, our classic trivia question, and the bizarre take on last Friday's episode, You Have to Hear to Believe. Trust me. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and presenting the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and 40-plus other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour is brought to you today by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. 51 degrees at the top of the hour. Yes, the sun is finally out after an overnight and a morning of a lot of rain, 2 to 4 inches here in the New York metro area. Wherever you are around the country, we welcome you to the program about TV's current and future. Happy pre-Christmas week to you. First of 3 episodes this week, today, Wednesday, and Friday. Then following Christmas, next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday to wrap up 2023. Great guests in store for you today, and we invite you to be part of the program. Interact. How? Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Or get into our chat room, as Krista3 has just done. So use the room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Stream. Follow the instructions of the team live with you. New Magazine Executive Vice President Tony Cardinale joins me from Westchester County, a little bit beyond New York City, after these news notes. It looks like there's more than one new DC Comics-connected TV series Matt Reeves will work on. Already executive producing The Penguin for Max, with Colin Farrell back in that role, the Batman entrepreneur is developing a series involving Anthem, or Arkham, as DC's insane asylum for villains. What's more, according to DC Studios co-chief executive James Gunn in a Deadline Hollywood Daily report this morning, Reeves will develop and produce future television series set in the DC or Batman universe. Again, that insane asylum for villains that DC is called Arkham. One of the first new TV networks of 2024 will be K-Wave, the first series for all things or the first service for all things K-pop, short for Korean popular music. TCL and Hisense are the first smart TV set makers to bring K-Wave to U.S. viewers starting next month. Put together Static Wave and Ariane TV, K-Wave will offer original series, live concert specials, fashion and dance instruction segments, and plenty of K-pop videos. Now quickies, Netflix wants to give Wednesday, the Addams Family offshoot mega hit, a spin-off program focusing on dear old Uncle Fester, played on Wednesday by Fred Armisen. Production on Wednesday's second season is expected to begin soon. MGM Plus will run the season 2 of Beacon 23, the speculative fiction mystery series originally made for Spectrum Originals and AMC. Season 2 run will begin next April. We had Glenn Mazzara, the executive producer of Beacon 23, on our program last month. You can catch that interview at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, and all of our podcast locations. Australia TV will present a 2-hour primetime special on the Open Borders issue this Friday. Sesame Street, The Muppets Mayhem, and The Crossover were among the series honorees this weekend at the 2nd Annual Children's and Family Emmy Awards. No more original episodes of Warrior after 3 seasons on Max. However, Max and Netflix will continue to run the series, with Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter, among the executive producers. And Chime TV, the Asian American network, will run the annual Unforgettable Gala tonight. More than 700 people attended the event in Los Angeles over the weekend, with Beef creator Lee Sung-jin and co-star Stephen Young among the honorees. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live from Westchester County, New York, which got a deluge like here in New York City from the storm that's passing us all by this afternoon, the new executive vice president of the popular media research firm Magid, Tony Cardinale. Tony, I'm happy you got through the rain and everything okay, and we are delighted to have you with us. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks. Power's back on here and ready to go.
All right. And Tony, congratulations on your promotion. Well deserved.
Thank you. Thank you. Excited to be at Magid.
So before we get into Magid's thoughts for 2024, what's your big takeaway for 2023? What do you think was the big TV development that's going to continue into not only next year but beyond?
Oh, there are a lot of them. I think the stories of 2023 that inform what we think will happen in 2024 are consumers being maxed out. We've tracked over many years how many paid streaming services the average home has, and also we've tracked how many they say that they could potentially have, and we've seen those two things come together. We're seeing churn throughout the year go up, and we believe that that's a function of people hitting their ceiling and being forced to curate more and not just add an ad anymore. And so that obviously puts a lot of pressure on the whole streaming ecosystem. The phrase we use for it is a knife fight. You know, there was a long period of time where the water in the SVOD space, paid streaming video space, was lifting all boats, and that period is over. And now there's a knife fight where between them, where anyone's gain has to be someone else's loss. And that takes the form of a lot of churn in the space. So that's one thing that informs where, and we believe that that's going to continue because people's ceiling for what they're willing to have is not going to change. And so they're going to be forced to make harder decisions. And then as that's happened, the free streaming video space, Tubi, Pluto, Freevee, the Roku channel has matured. More people have become aware of it. And we've seen that it started to satisfy many of the same things that paid streaming has. Not all of them, but enough of them where not only are the paid streaming, major paid streaming or free streaming services competing for time, but they're also competing for what we call centrality or vitality and love. You know, I'm less willing to give up Tubi than I am willing to give up a paid service. So the competition there's always been competition from free video distractions like TikTok and YouTube, but there's a maturing, what you'd call long-form or premium video now ecosystem of free streaming that is a significant competitor to paid streaming, and that's caused, I think, we think that that's also a contributor to the high churn that we're seeing in, you know, high subscribe and unsubscribe rates in paid streaming, because now free streaming is offering a comfortable bed of, you know, part of my household solution to video, where I'm not giving up everything if I'm giving up this one service that costs me $9.99 a month or $15.99 a month. And so a lot of the forces that we've watched evolve through 2023 inform what we think will happen in 2024. And in the case of churn, we believe churn will increase more rather than moderate in 2024.
Mm-hmm. So going into 2024, Tony, we have this incredible TV environment where we have these mega content services, Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, Apple TV Plus, all of et cetera. You have smart TV sets and smart TV devices and multi-channel bundles like Tubi and the Roku channel and Pluto and et cetera, now giving us this incredible variety of new independent television services with all shapes and sizes, some of them with scripted, some of them unscripted, some with both. And then you also have this incredible set of networks that will be coming on next year, like Dr. Phil with his network, Bold Baking Network, Jesse James, the Outlaw Discovery Channel. He wants to start his service, Outlaw TV. How is this all going to work out next year?
Well, I mean, just to take those sort of one thing at a time, the last thing first, that as you know, there's been such a proliferation of what many call fast channels or micro nets that there's no big and small. Every location along that continuum is now occupied by something. And we think that really that's a win for the platforms. The more of those sorts of services exist, and most of them are free services to consumers that exist on fast platforms, or some of them squeeze their way into cable line is probably getting free carriage. That's a model that really is a win for the platform more than it is for the free services. The major companies, Disney, Paramount, NBC, Universal, Netflix, the economics around these smaller smaller channels or fast channels, it's not compelling to them. They might make $1 million or $5 million in a year or $8 million. So it's not really it's not going to change the way that major content companies do business. It's for a small company that can make margin on, you know, $8 million of revenue on a couple of fast channels. It's great for them. But really, it's a win for the platform. It's a win for Pluto or a win for the Roku channel who gets to offer, you know, 1,000 things that has something for everyone. So I just think that, you know, by little incremental small steps, the overall offering of free services just competes in a greater and greater way with paid services. Some of them, I think, will graduate into cable lineups and help make the cable lineup, you know, the traditional cable lineup, viable for a little bit longer than it otherwise would be, because, you know, most of these services offer from a cable fees perspective 80% of the value for 15% of the money. I don't know the exact economics around AccuWeather versus, you know, the small fast channel AccuWeather versus the Weather Channel. But that could if you're a cable company, Charter or Comcast, who is trying to find ways to preserve your margin and to program in a way that's sustainable 5 years from now, all of the versions of that, the small insurgent service that does something nearly as well, but costs in terms of a carriage fee much less, is part of the solution, or at least the extension of the life of cable. So, you know, there are a lot, all these things fit in together in a sort of dynamic way. But I think that what effect that has on major streamers, Netflix, Apple Plus, Paramount Plus, Peacock, Hulu, et cetera, is that those streamers will have more and more pressure on them to be truly premium and to be, you know, as HBO said 15 years ago, it's not TV, it's HBO. I think the fact that there's so much content that's good, if not amazing, that it forces the streamers to justify their $15 or $10 or $17.99 with more amazing. And so I think that the challenge for the major content companies, you know, those top 10 or top 9 paid streaming services, is to find a way to make content that is truly differentiated with the kind of content that you were talking about, because it's awesome. But at the same time, recognize in their cost structure that they can't pay $7 million an hour for content like House of Cards or $10 million an hour like Game of Thrones. They have to find a way to be truly differentiated and truly premium, with a capital P, as they want people to think of them, but with a different economic model, which I think that's the fundamental challenge for SVOD for the next 5 years.
Our guest this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised is Magid's new Executive Vice President, Tony Colonnelli. Magid, one of the top media research firms in the country. We should point out that the forecast that he is giving is specifically toward the situation with television in the United States. So whatever happens around the world may happen depending on how your services go. Tony's with us live from Westchester County, New York, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And I'm here too, Simon Abel, with you live from New York, 51 degrees, top of the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of three episodes this week comes your way on Wednesday, and we've got a good duo for you. First, the executive producer, writer, and showrunner of the second season of Peacock Dr. Death, premiering later this week, Ashley Michelle Hoban. And one of our, somebody who haven't had in a long time on this program, he is also one of the best TV technology observers around, the one and only Shelley Palmer will join us from the Palmer Group. It's all coming your way Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tony, is it possible that we may have more new services make it than not, because of the fact that you have all these bundles out there like Freecast and so forth that are now 300, 400, in case of Freecast, 800 channels? Also, there's talk that we may see a big surge of advertising taken away from linear television and digital programming into smart TV sets and smart TV device distributed content. And third, you now have trade associations that are working with some of these independent networks, the Independent Streaming Alliance and also the Streaming Innovator Alliance. So with all that environment, is it possible that we could be underestimating how many of these new networks make it in 2024 and beyond?
Well, I mean, a lot of when we say new networks, these are usually one of two things. They're either a specific show or talent that you build around that talent in a way that supports a fast channel, or libraries that are aggregated by, you know, a whole new ecosystem of library management companies like FilmRise and Shout Studios. And so I don't think, you know, I don't think it's the way to think of it is in terms of who makes it and who doesn't, or winners and losers per se. As long as you're acquiring that content or programming that content for the right amount, as money flows into that, you know, sort of platform-based ecosystem, there's money there for each of those services and or each of those libraries, and whether the libraries or the talent or the show make it really depends on the economics of, in the case of a library, what the acquisition costs were or the production costs. And so there's a way to align the cost of content with the revenue it's going to generate. And I think that what you implied in your question, which is that more and more money over time will flow into platforms that have long-form content that otherwise used to have gone to, you know, say ABC, I think that will happen gradually over time. And the live and the platform, Roku channel or Tubi, they don't really have any incentive to take content off. You know, once they start carrying, and you know, in the case of Tubi and many other platforms, the content's available on demand, not in a channel lineup convention. And so, you know, one thing the cable operators know is no matter how small a service is, a channel, if you take the channel off, some of your customers will complain. Even if it's a small service, you don't want to annoy your customers by taking off things that, you know, even 1% of them are watching consistently. They don't like that. So from a platform, if you're Roku, the Roku channel or Tubi or Pluto, you don't have a lot of incentive to fully take off a channel or a movie library from your platform. It'll just get lost at the bottom of the ocean and replaced by the things that consumers want, and a curated way of serving up that content will serve up whatever a household is watching a lot of. So as long as the content is owned in a library, if you have, you know, a lot of episodes of Johnny Carson or the Carol Burnett Show or, you know, whatever it is, MASH or Cheers, it'll be out in the world. People will use the platforms they typically use, and if it's there, they'll watch it. It's just a matter of how much and whether your business is sized right for the economics of the money that's going to make. But I think that the platforms are the winners, because the more of that content, even if it's sort of what I think of as micro content, is there, the more time is going to be spent there. And I think that there's just going to be more platform-based behavior. People don't want to go in and out of app to app, and if Cocomelon is on 6 different apps, as it is, people will just watch it wherever they are. And so, on a household level, the platform will win if it is a good sort of broad household library experience. If it has good discovery, if it's well curated, if it's well personalized, and then, you know, the chips will fall for the individual sort of pieces of content that are in it in a super deep library like that.
Tony, over 2 years ago, your company and Vizio, the smart TV set maker, did a survey of about 1,000 smart TV households. It was showcased at Week New York at Hudson Yards. And the idea was, what interactive services would you like to have? And there were a bunch of different choices. And in many cases, over 40% of that group surveyed said, we'd like to have personalized weather and traffic reports that we can interact. We'd like to have our webcam on the television set. We'd like to have online delivery of groceries and other products and services, and so on and so on and so forth. Well, here we are 2 years later, and we now have interactive game hubs from Samsung, LG, and others, where you can play games on the TV set with your voice, a voice remote, or a joystick, and that's because of the artificial intelligence software in the smart TV set device, which now reached critical mass, so you can do that. We now have Roku with their action ads, where you can order products from Walmart or Shopify clients, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like we're going to be seeing a run of interactive advertising. We may have some interactive content announcements coming up at CES 2024 in Las Vegas. Is it fair to say that maybe, just maybe, the long-awaited interactive television era has begun?
Yeah, I mean, yes, technically. But I think that wide adoption of those capabilities by consumers, it might take longer than it took to roll out the technical capabilities. People are getting a lot of what they need done as they're sitting in front of a TV through their smartphones. And there's a long history of adjacent apps or interactive offerings that were offered and didn't scale. And my point isn't that they won't scale in the future. I think that voice helps. And the fact that the hardware maker is solving a lot of these things in a way that they weren't really a party to in the past, I think that that helps. But we'll see what the demand is. Just because the technical capability is there, and each of these is a niche thing. Some of them will be more popular than others. Gaming might win. Weather might win. But I think that the answer is going to be different by what the execution is and how much demand that there is to match up with that sort of technical supply. I think in general we have a more connected home. People are talking to their homes and they're talking to their devices more. And that's, I came from Comcast. I worked at NBC Universal for many years, and I was very close to the rollout of Comcast sort of, interactive home capabilities. And I saw the focus they put on it, and we saw how well they were solving consumer sort of friction points through voice. And I think that that's a critical piece of the whole thing. I think voice unlocks any number of things.
So it sounds like you think that perhaps the television becoming a hub for other aspects of your smart home or apartment, whether it's the ability to trigger the washing machine or the microwave oven or to look in on who's at the front door, that might be just around the corner.
How many people choose to use the television as the interface for that versus their phone, which they have in their hands all the time? We'll see. But, and part of it is just where you happen to be. I'm a real believer, based on all the work that we've done and what I referred to before, as platform-based behavior. I'm here. I happen to be here with this app open, whether it's in my hand or on my television set. Now I want to do this other thing. I was watching TV for me. Now I want to just I have to go pay bills, and I want to take care of occupy my 2-year-old. So within the same app, I have Cocomelon now. Or I'm here sitting on my couch doing this one thing, and I need to, as you said, I need to set something in the house, change the temperature of the house, whatever it is. The device that I'm using, if it solves that, is often going to be the default that I use. And how much, how much people do that with using their phones versus voice in their home through a voice device in their home. Versus their television set, we'll see. But obviously the television set takes up a lot of consumer time. And one thing that we haven't seen change much is there's forever. There's always been a hard-to-believe amount of video consumed per person forever. Nielsen has always has reported for many years the average American watches 5 hours of video, when video is only mostly from a television set. Now it's more of a mix, but it's still 5 hours. We'll see if that continues, or 5 hours or more even. We'll see if that continues. But with video still being so central to people's lives and an increasing amount of short-form video being watched on television sets, not on phones, it used to be that the vast majority of YouTube was watched on a smartphone, and now increasingly YouTube is watched on flat-screen TVs. As those changes happen, we'll see how much of the other interactive things happen on a TV set as a result of just the inertia of watching on a television set.
If you have questions or comments, our main manager, New Magazine Executive Vice President Tony Carnelli, make the call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, Simon Apple, Zero Cool. And then coming up in the next half hour, Classic Trivia Question of the Week, second week of the current question, 6 prize in play, a nice 6-pack. For the holiday season can be yours if you email the correct answer first. And also, we will unveil the mystery of, what happened with our last episode this past Friday afternoon. I promise you, it's quite bizarre. And we're going to use a classic bizarre episode of a famous game show to illustrate the situation. That is coming up in our next half hour. Since the end of the actor and the writer's strike a few months ago, there's been all this talk of, we are done with the era of plentiful TV. That's why I call peak TV, that we're going to have less scripted shows. It seems, though, Tony, that I'm getting more announcements than ever of scripted shows. There was talk that networks like USA Network, which have been out of the scripted game for a while, they want to come back in. Netflix is saying we're going to do more shows, like the Uncle Fester spinoff I mentioned in the news notes from Wednesday. Are we being premature in saying this is the end of peak TV or plentiful TV as we've come to know it?
I think that the best business model for streamers is for great scripted to continue and for them to invest in great scripted. In the case of USA, part of what makes that business model make sense for USA to produce, full hour dramas for itself is that it has then a second life on, probably Peacock, and potentially elsewhere, and so the cost of those dramas get amortized over multiple platforms. It doesn't work if you don't also own a Peacock. I think it's vital that that paid streaming services continue to roll out great scripted comedies, great scripted dramas, serialized dramas, because that is what's going to distinguish them from Tubi. So where do they get the money from that? Or Pluto or free options, YouTube, TikTok. And so where do they get the money from that is the question. I think that they're going to get the money from that by completely changing the economic model of their investment for the rest of their library. So I don't know, but we have to assume that for the average reality show, lifestyle reality show on Netflix, the budget was higher than many other platforms. And what I believe will happen is that paid streaming services will right-size the cost of their distinguishing library. In other words, things that you can watch interchangeably across all these services, the kinds of things.
Final question for you, Tony. Is there something under the radar screen, your radar screen at Magid, that you think is going to dictate how things go next year? For example, I think the possibilities of how artificial intelligence is going to dictate how content is created and produced. And also, as I mentioned before, the software and artificial intelligence, set-top box in the smart TV sets and devices, is going to encourage more people to be interactive with their television sets. I mean, we are, for example, Amazon, if you have an Amazon Fire TV, you can now, using generative AI, create your own video art gallery or even develop your own video art and put on the TV set within minutes. What is under the radar screen for you that could burst on the scene next year? Tony? Hang one second. We may have lost Tony for a sec. Bear with me. Let's see if we get him back. Tony, you back there? Tony? Tony, I think we may have lost you. For some reason, your line cut out. If you could give us a call back, 646-652-2906, that'd be great. And we'll get another minute or two in with you. In the meantime, again, we'll let you know that Wednesday on Smart TV Televised, our guest will be Ashley Michelle Hoban. She is the executive producer, writer, and showrunner of Dr. Death. That's the second season of the Peacock series that will premiere later this week. And we'll also have super observer of the TV and technology scene. He will be at CS 2024. And on stage, we'll be interviewing both Mark Cuban of Shark Tank fame and Linda Iaccarino of X. Shelley Palmer will join us. And if you've never heard Shelley, he's incredibly bright, incredibly super, and I promise you, he'll have some very interesting things for you to think about. That's all coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Let me see if we can try to get Tony back. Tony, are you there? I think for some reason we may have lost him, unfortunately. Tony, going to give you another couple minutes, a minute or two. Give us a call back if you hear me. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And while we wait to see if Tony comes back on the line, let's break away for a message from BlendJet. You know, if your blender is bulky and a pain to operate, give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks an easy, wonderful pleasure. You know, BlendJet is so portable, you can work up a smoothie at the office or your favorite protein booster at the local gym or a poolside margarita. BlendJet is quiet to operate, and it's rechargeable on the go. So during this holiday season, looking for a great product to make those wonderful drinks and smoothies and shakes, what are you waiting for? Go to blendjet.com and grab yours today. Blendjet.com, and be sure to include the promo code TELEVISED to get 12% off your order, plus free two-day shipping, plus you can get BlendJet at an already discounted Black Friday holiday season price. So once again, go to blendjet.com, grab yours today, use the promo code TELEVISED, T-L-E-V-I-S-E-D, get 12% off your order, free two-day shipping, and the special low holiday season price. It's not lasting too long. Remember, blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. All right, Tony, you're back with us. Let's try one last time, see what is going on. And here, after all, we are radio. We are audio. And unfortunately, he has dropped. So I'm sorry that we couldn't get another couple more minutes. Tony, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Maggot Executive Vice President just got that promotion. Thank you for being with us from Westchester County, New York. And if you want more details about Maggot and their marvelous research, they're one of the best in the business, go to Maggot.com, M-A-G-I-D. That's Maggot.com. And again, thank you to Tony Carnell for being with us. When we come back, classic trivia question, and what happened with our episode this past Friday? Wait till you hear the amazing, bizarre details with help from a classic, bizarre episode, one of the best game shows around from 51 years ago. And you can see that episode on YouTube. All coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best in radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific on BTR, it's Daddy Cool Radio. Great guests coming your way. Kofi Wazuzu Ofori from the popular group We Dope. That's Kofi Wazuzu Ofori from We Dope right here on Daddy Cool Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. This half hour is brought to you by Wild, reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Great back with you. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, 51 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Welcome to those just joining us at the bottom of the hour. We have more for you this half hour, and we'd still like to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere you're catching us. Country around the globe, you're on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, or use the chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name, Chris Daz 3, still in the room. Time now for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week and final week we're offering the question. We have six prizes in store for you if you are first with the correct. And among those prizes, we have an Uber card, courtesy of AMC Networks. We have a free Redbox movie night, courtesy of Crackle Connect. Two wonderful CDs, Lifetime's Women in Rock, wonderful CD with great performances by Annie Lennox and the Eurythmics, and Laura Branigan, Bananarama, The Pretenders, Pat Benatar, and more. And Chicago's Greatest Hits CD with super tunes like Feeling Stronger Every Day and If You Leave Me Now. Plus, two great books. We have got the book from Jeff Melvoin, the writer and showrunner and producer of the popular CBS classic Northern Exposure, won the Emmy Award for it. And his book is Running the Show, Television from the Inside, big hit on Amazon. And from USC professor David Craig, his new book, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After, the ABC movie that marked its 40th anniversary November 20th, helped end the Cold War. Six prizes, all can be yours if you know the answer to this question. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? Two hints. It was not Peyton Place. And secondly, both series were on NBC, and one of them you can see episodes on YouTube. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, the question, what was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? We will take either answer. So six prizes can be yours for this holiday season. In order to win, you got to play in. Do so today, and all the very best. Coming up next, a special comment about what happened with us this past Friday afternoon. Well, we'll tell you all about it, the crazy details. But first, we have some words from Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant, which I use, has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. It's great to go on. It lasts a long time. And it comes in a variety of scent and color combinations that are just dynamite, like jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. There's no harsh chemicals to spread about, and if you want a refill, that gets delivered right to your door. Also, they have a wonderful case. They can just put the refills in anytime you need to. It's so easy to use. So go Wild today, and you do it with a special discount of 25% off your first order. All you have to do is use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. That's SimonApple04 at checkout. For all details, go to wearewild.com. That's wearewild.com. And use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. Check out Wild, the reusable, refillable natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And enjoy. And now, a special comment. Something very bizarre happened with our program last Friday. We had a great show in place, great guests, and something bizarre happened that has never happened to this program before. Now, to explain what I'm referring to and to give you some perspective, I want to give you a flashback to February of 1972 and a similar bizarre incident that took place on a game show, one of the very best, the first syndicated version of one of the classics of all time, To Tell the Truth, hosted by Gary Moore, produced in New York by Mark Goodson and Bill Todman. And what happened was it started as any normal Tell the Truth episode did. It would start with the wonderful theme, ba, 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 and Johnny Olsen announced and say, ladies and gentlemen, Gary Moore. And Gary Moore comes out on the stage. He welcomes the audience. He welcomes Johnny Olsen, goes to his seat on the stage and says, well, did you know that it was Chinese New Year? Comes back to happen. And it's the year of the rat. Well, our first spot, he called the game spot, two games played per show. Our first spot has three lovely ladies, and I'm paraphrasing here. I will be verbatim shortly. I'm paraphrasing for now. We have three lovely ladies who all claim to be Miss Chinatown USA. And we'll meet those lovely ladies after we meet our lovely panel here on Tell the Truth. The theme music plays, and out comes Gene Rayburn, then Peggy Katz, Bill Cullen, and finally, Kitty Carlisle. That's the panel for today's episode. And so music dies down, everybody takes their seats, and Gary then brings on the three lovely ladies, all of whom claim to be Miss Chinatown USA, and reads the affidavit, I blank blank, have this and this and that, sign blank blank, theme music goes, contestants get applause, and they go to their seats. So Gary Moore is about to get into its first commercial break. And he says, in part, if you will stay through the commercials and come back, we will explain to you in alarming detail why it is impossible for us to play this spot at all. I dare you to tune out. Fade to black. Minute or two for commercials based on where your area is. And I'm sure at that time some people might be thinking, what did Gary Moore say? It's impossible to play this game? We're about to play the game. Why is he saying this? So I'm sure there was like some hubbub. It may have, if you were watching the show as it was happening, you might have that hubbub. And then Gary Moore comes back for the commercial, and once again he says, well, before the commercial break, I told you that this game was so impossible to play. And here's what he says then. I quote, so impossible that we're not going to play it. The reason for it is, and then he mentions Paul Alter, who is the director of To Tell the Truth, one of the best, by the way, game show directors of all time, Emmy Award winner. He asked Paul to take camera one and focus on the three women, who are the challengers in this first round. And the camera pans from left to right, zooms in on the first contestant, number one, then pans to number two and then number three. As Gary Moore says, well, the way we play the game is we have our celebrity panel. We'll question our three women to see if they can tell which one is the real Miss Chinatown USA and which are imposters. He stops talking for 2 seconds as the camera comes back to the three shot. Goes back to Gary Moore, and here's what he says, and I quote, surprise, we already did it. We did it, but the fellow who was running our tape machine downstairs, he then mentions the famous Mr. Robert Sarnoff, president of NBC, gets applause, big laughter. It's an in-joke that really flies over the audience. Everybody's applauding. And then Gary Moore continues, was out to lunch, and he did not press up the tape machine. So now there's no way we can play the game all over again. The celebrity panel knows by now who the real Miss Chinatown USA is. The studio audience knows who the real Miss Chinatown USA is. The only person that doesn't know is you. So we now know that this whole first half of the episode, To Tell the Truth, had to be redone. Why? Because it wasn't videotaped in the first place. And so Gary decides, all right, let's play a little game between you and me and camera one, and let's see if, based on what you think by looking at the three women and then hearing how each of our celebrities voted, you might determine who the real Miss Chinatown USA is. And then, of course, he gets into, will the real Miss Chinatown USA please stand up? That person does. She's also a very good singer, too. There's a little solo spot, and everything's great. And the show continues as before. You got to admit, that's an incredibly bizarre situation with a game show. And as far as I know, no other game show has ever had this situation before, where you had to drop a whole game because the videotape machine was not running. Well, we now fast forward to what took place this past Friday on this very program. We had a wonderful 90-minute episode in store for you. And usually, the way I get the episode going is, with 30 minutes to go, I check in with Blog Talk Radio. I check their home screen. I check my screen. And lo and behold, on my computer screen, there is a pop-up that basically says that today, a number of shows and a number of guests have not been able to do their shows because they couldn't get through to Blog Talk Radio. There is a technical breakdown. And Blog Talk Radio's crew is working on the problem and hopes to get it resolved. This is the first I hear of it. So I'm wondering, should I try to get this show off the ground or should I cancel it? And I decide, okay, I'm going for it. Let's get this show on the air, if at all possible. If we can't, if I can't get through, I will let my guests know and we won't do the show today. Well, I do get through. I call in 14, 15 minutes before, which I'm supposed to do, and I get through. And lo and behold, our guests get through. I can hear them. I do the sound checks. I did let them know, hey, BTR has this technical problem. Some of the guests and shows have not been able to go on the air because of this technical issue. The engines are going. So because of that, rather than mute your lines and have you call back if you're the second or the third guest, stay on the line. Keep the line open. You don't have to call back, and we will make sure that we get you on. So it's 3 o'clock Eastern time, noon Pacific, and get the cue, and along I go with this. 3, 2, 1. Future is the word connecting this episode's hot topics. We start with Bold Baking Network, one of the new channels with a 2024 premiere in mind. Co-founders Demis Stafford and Kevin Kurtz join me next. CES 2024 is a few weeks away. What TV innovations will showcase in Las Vegas during the annual Mega Exposition of Consumer Electronics? Get clues next half hour from Consumer Technology Association Research Director Jessica Booth. There's a new source of scripted inspirational and aspirational series gearing up, The Wonder Project. Chief Content Officer John Irwin details its TV aspirations in our final 30 minutes. Also ahead, a new FX content producing project, The View hosts new scripted undertaking, our classic trivia question, and free sci-fi from NBCU. The takeaway of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York, and off we go. Show is going. Our guests are great. The interviews are terrific. Bold Baking Network, marvelous. Jessica Booth from Consumer Technology Association, folks behind CES 2024. She's marvelous, and so is John Irwin talking about the Wonder Project. Show goes great. I get in the takeaway of the week, basically the fact that sci-fi really has gone from being a terrific network covering the science fiction, horror, fantasy scene with original scripted and unscripted programming, to basically being a shell of its former self. Very few original shows. I mentioned which ones are still on, like 3 or 4, and suggest that NBC Universal sell the network to somebody else who can give it its past glory back again. So 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, we are done. I sign off. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. Sign off. Then I learn a few minutes afterward, surprise, the show didn't go on all but 5 or 6 minutes at the end. Pretty much the takeaway of the week. That's it. So for most of those 90 minutes, we were not on the air. And we had no clue that we were not on the air. And unlike, to tell the truth, we can't go back and do it all over again. Why? First of all, we said sayonara to our guests who had to go to other things, having done their commitment to this program. And secondly, under my Blog Talk Radio contract, I can only be on one show a day, and the show cannot run longer than 2 hours. It could be 30 minutes, usually we're an hour, like today, 90 minutes as we try and do Friday, or 2 hours. And that's it. We have no recourse, but basically to say, fait accompli, we got to eat the words, or in this case, eat the program. So within minutes, I was emailing everybody, the guests, PR people for the email, representing those companies and saying, got to do mea culpa. We were not on the air. The technical breakdown was happening. We did not know. I apologize on behalf of Blog Talk Radio, and we will find a way to get you on down the road. And that's how we wrapped up our episode Friday afternoon. So, yes, we have our own surprise. Like, to tell the truth, did 51 years ago, we had our own surprise. We were not on the air, except for the last 5-6 minutes. So I have a few mea culpa. I have a mea culpa for you, and then I have a request. So first of all, on behalf of Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, I want to apologize for the fact we didn't have the show on Friday. And I apologize that we had the technical breakdown. It was not just us. It was other Blog Talk Radio shows and producers and hosts dealing with the same thing. And I want to congratulate the Blog Talk Radio technical people for at least getting some things back on the air and for getting other shows back on the air as soon as possible. I know they tried very, very hard. And that's that. So we apologize to you, our audience, to our guests, the public relations people that we work with to make the show, that particular show happen. That's number one. Two, the silver lining, and there is a silver lining in this, is that there is a big chance that all of our guests will be back. Bold Baking Network is going to be launching during the first few months of 2024. When they do, we will have Jenna and Kevin back. That's Jenna Stafford and Kevin Kurtz. They will be back on the program. We will invite Jessica Booth from the Consumer Technology Association to be back with us after CES 2024 completes, which, by the way, takes place January 9th through 12th at Las Vegas Convention Center and nearby sites. And as soon as we learn about the Wonder Project and their first TV project, and we know where it's going to go, we will have John Irwin back, along with the chief executive of that project, and we will have her as well on the program. We're talking with Kelly Merriman Hoogstraten. She is the chief executive, former, I believe, with Netflix. And we will have John and Kelly back with us when Wonder Project does have its deal. And we also want to let you know, if you want to find out more about Bold Baking Network, you can go to this website, www.biggerbolderbaking.com. It's www.biggerbolderbaking.com. More details about CES, you go to www.cestech. More details about the company that puts it on, the Consumer Technology Association, www.cta.tech, T-E-C-H. And for more about the Wonder Project online, www.thewonderproject.com. It's www.thewonderproject.com. Now, we wrap this up with a request. Had I gotten a heads up way beforehand, or even an hour or two beforehand, along the lines of a email, a voicemail message, a text message on a smartphone or mobile phone to this degree that would say the following. Blog Talk Radio has a technical breakdown going, and it very well could impact your program being on the air today. Our staff is working diligently to resolve the problem. We cannot guarantee that your show will be on the air given what we're dealing with. So we advise you to keep that in mind. Had I received a heads up in some fashion, even if it was an hour before we went on the air, we would have alerted, frankly, everybody, our guests, and the public and people deal with that. We would not go on with the show. We weren't sure if it was going to be resolved. We apologize for it, and we'll reschedule you. And that's clear. We did not get that, and that's why we got the surprise that we did. So I would like to make this request to Blog Talk Radio, to Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and in fact, for every internet, radio, audio supplier, platform, podcasters as well, podcast platforms. If you have a technical breakdown, don't keep it to yourselves. If you know that people like myself are going to go on the air that day, email me. Email us. Get us the word. Give us the heads up so we can deal with it, and we can deal with it powerfully. Don't keep us in limbo and then come to the site and, wow, pop up. Lo and behold, we're done for. It's very simple to do, and believe me, it will eliminate a lot of headache and a lot of heartache. Yes, it's tough to have to cancel a show, and we've had to do that because of technical breakdowns and because of the fact that the Internet, for all its brilliance, is a very fragile instrument, and that anything from a power outage to tornadoes to extremely bad weather, to short-circuiting, a power surge between where you are and I am, and between both of us and Blog Talk Radio or Speaker Tune Radio and their technical facilities, things can break at any second. And you heard that, by the way, today with Tony Cardinale, where we weren't able to get the last few minutes with him because for some reason, somehow, some way, he dropped out. That's what we're talking about. So give us a heads up. Let's make this a standard practice where if you have a breakdown, you send out an email, circulate it, send out a voicemail message, circulate it, send out a smartphone, mobile phone text message along the lines of, we're having this technical breakdown, we are on track to try to resolve it as soon as possible, we cannot guarantee that your show can go on the air today given where we're at, and we advise you to keep that in mind. And we thank you for your patience and your understanding. Perfect. So I would like to request that that becomes standard practice. Again, it will save everybody a lot of heartache and a lot of headache up and down the line. And it's the smart thing to do. It's the great business thing to do. So BTR, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, podcast sites, internet, other internet service radio providers, audio providers, let's take that on, shall we? And let's really do that for the sake of our guests, for the sake of our hosts and producers, and the sake of our fellow audience. Okay? Okay. Let's move on. All right. Want to do one more time our classic trivia questions, because we have a couple minutes left before we leave you for today. Here's that question again. Get your thinking caps on. Six prize in play if you're first with the correct answer by email. What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last TV series as star or co-star? What was Ryan O'Neill's first or last television series as star or co-star? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to include your name and your mailing address so we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in to do so, and all the very best. Again, thank you to Tony Cardinale and Maggie for being with us today. I really hope you enjoyed it. And we are back with our second of three episodes on Wednesday, same time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Joining us will be the executive producer, writer, and showrunner of the second season of Peacock's Dr. Death, Ashley Michelle Hoban, and Shelley Palmer of the Palmer Group. He's going to CES, and he'll give us before his thoughts about where TV 2024 is going to go. And we'll talk to him about his interviews upcoming at CES with Mark Cuban of Shark Tank and the interactive TV service Fireside, which he's an investor in, and Linda Iaccarino of X to Twitter. And I have a question for two that maybe we can sneak in to that conversation. We'll see. If you came in late on today's episode, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, it's so easy. Go to our homepage anytime you like. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, anytime you like, check out our website, tobarbytelevised.com. Thanks to the fine people on Podium and the 45 or so podcast destinations. You can catch us on 24/7, like iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Acast, Odyssey, formerly CBS Radio, Fathom, Luminary, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and so many, many more. We love hearing from you. You are a great audience, and we want to hear from you. We want to interact with you. So what do you think about our program today? What's your thoughts about how TV is going to shape up next year and beyond? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X or Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn is Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum and X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you within 24 hours. That's my promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio or other services program. Andy Cho is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitar Spakas is our web coordinator. And don't forget to join me Wednesday for Sports Newswire, our Sports Newswire segment on the world of TV sports. I'll reveal my top five TV sports developments of 2023. And by the way, if you have a suggestion for that list, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you get your suggestion in the list, or honorable mentions, you, of course, will get the credit. That's Sports Newswire, Wednesday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, on Sports Grid Network, available on smart TV sets, devices, multi-channel bundles, and, like Amazon Freebie, and others just for you. Tomorrow's Televised is brought to you today by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go, wherever you go. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a wonderful start of your pre-Christmas week. Back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, and of course, make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.